Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Chof Dalet, Pasik Yud Aleph. Vayhi be'ez yavi es ha'oron el pekudas ha'melech b'yad ha'levim. It was when they brought the oron to the officer, to the pekudas ha'melech, the person appointed by the king, b'yad ha'levim, u'kiroisam, when they saw kirav ha'kesef, and when they saw that there was an abundance of kesef, there was a significant collection made, u'vo ha'sefer ha'melech v'fikir ha'koin ha'roish. The scribe of the king came, and the officer of the Kohen Harosh of the Kohen Gadol, they came together. There's significance in the fact that there were two people that came together to count the money in the Pushka. The Oru Perek Chof Dalet Pasik Yud Aleph. The Oru Es Haron. They poured out the aron. Very interesting word to use to describe how to empty the contents of the aron. Vayisuhu, they carried away the money. Vishivuhu el mikomo, and they returned the aron to its place. Ko asu liyom biyom, so was done daily. Vayasu chesef lerov, and by doing so, they accumulated an enormous amount of kesef, an abundance of kesef. And before we go further, there are a couple of interesting things I came across in our reviewing for today. Number one, we learned last week that there was a very great need for a repair of the Beis Hamikdash, a renovation project. And the pasuk says the reason why it was necessary, we learned that Rashi, was because Asaliyahu, she demolished, she destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Why does the pasuk put such emphasis on her actions? And why indeed did she go through the effort of... Did the pasuk say that she actually destroyed the Beis Hamikdash? Why would she want to do that? She was the queen, and the Beis Hamikdash was a national treasure. Today, all heads of state are trying to preserve their assets. Why would she actually go through the effort of demolishing and destroying the Beis Hamikdash?
Yes. That would be a rallying point of her opposition.
Okay, that's an idea. I hear what you're saying, that people will remember the good old days when they served Hashem.
The opposition would use this as a rallying point.
But she could have used, it's a very beautiful structure, she could have used this structure for whatever she wanted. She could have used this for Avodah Zarah. Why did she go through the effort of demolishing the Beis Hamikdash, as the pasuk says? We go back to... Where did it say? Ki pasuk Zayin. Ki Asaliyahu Hamir Shahas Boneho. Asaliyahu, the wicked woman, Boneho, her children, Fortsu Espeis Olakim. They destroyed, they demolished, they made breaches in the Beis Hamikdash. Vegan Kol Kotshei Beis Hashem Osu Lavolim. They took all of their assets of the Beis Hamikdash and they used it for Avodah Zarah. So I saw the answer in the Mishpat Zav. I'm not sure if this is only collecting from other Mefarshim. He says, because what was Asaliyahu's goal? It was to put an end to the Zera of David. She wanted David's seed to come to an end, the Malchus of David to come to an end, and she can take over. The Beis Hamikdash was synonymous with David. Who was the one that built the Beis Hamikdash? It's David. It is David. David, the only one that's allowed to sit in the Beis Hamikdash. Ein yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchei Beis David bilvad. You cannot separate David from the Beis Hamikdash. If you're going to destroy, to put an end to the seat of David, the Malchus of David, if you want to really succeed, or be part of the plan, it's two sides of one coin, is you must put an end to the Beis Hamikdash. It has to be destroyed. And that's why the pasuk goes through this effort of telling us that she actually did so. She didn't just take what other kings would have taken. We have a beautiful building. I'm not going to use it for the Beis Hamikdash. I'll use it as a gym. I'll use it as a palace. I will transform it to my own.
It would be David's gym.
So that's exactly right. Exactly.
What you're saying, to eliminate every zeichem.
Exactly. That was part of her plan. It was not just enough for her to kill David's children. To fully wipe out David would require her to demolish the Beis Hamikdash. That's what this. And that idea. We also understand why now, when David, when the Yoash was saved, and Yoash became king. What did Yoash do? Yoash, he rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash. Wasn't that just that he did renovations? David's contribution to Klal Yisrael is, Hashem, I want to build for you a Beis Hamikdash. I want to upgrade the status of Hashem dwelling in a tent, in the Midbar, in a Mishkan, to a real permanent structure. That was David's contribution. Now when David's Malchus has been renewed by the discovery and the survival of Yoash, it's part of the rebirth, the renaissance of David to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's why Yoash is also so into this idea of building the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's one interesting idea. Another idea I came across is, if we learn in Sefer Melachim, if we read the story that we're learning today, in a few weeks from today, we're going to read the Haftarah Parashah Shkolim. Parashah Shkolim is taken from Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, which basically is the same, which appears to be exactly the same story as we're reading now. Yoash is the new king, and Yehoyada is the Kohen Gadol, and Yoash says they make a bris, Yehoyada makes a bris with the people and the king, and to serve Hashem, we're not going to any longer follow in the ways of this evil woman Asalia, and we're going to go back to our old ways to serve Hashem. And then he goes on a building campaign to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So if you take a look at the Pesukim in Melachim and the Pesukim here in Divrei Hayamim, they're very similar. They seem to be describing exactly the same story, and indeed most of the Mepharshim learned that they're describing exactly the same thing with just different words. The words are a little bit different. There are major differences. A lot of the other stories that we've learned about in the past, the similarity between Melachim and Divrei Hayamim, the differences are very minor. Of course, in minor differences, there can be major themes. But here, there are significant differences in how things are described. The Malbum is unique in suggesting that what it says in Melachim, what it says in Divrei Hayamim, are describing a completely different story. And say for Melachim, we are describing the Yoash calling upon the Kohanim and Yehoyada to repair the Beis HaMikdash, nothing major, not to do a major renovation, just basic maintenance for the Beis HaMikdash. We need a new floor, not like to upgrade or some maintenance or support for the Beit HaBayis. And that is medayik that most, more or less, in Sefer Melachim, it says the word lechazek. Lechazek means to strengthen. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the term used more often is lechadesh, to renew, which he interprets to mean that Yoash had two plans. First plan was the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of disrepair. We have to get it functional. To get it functional, we don't need to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. If we'll raise a couple of thousand dollars to prepare the korbanos, to get the water working, the heating going, put out a new floor, get in some electricity, just the basic needs, that would be sufficient. But after the Mikdash would be functional and would be in operation, then he wanted to go forward and do a major construction project, basically to rebuild, to demolish old sections of the Beis HaMikdash and completely start from scratch and rebuild it, to make it, to restore it to its beauty from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Why? Why would he want to do that? That's, as we mentioned before, because this was the plan of Yoash. Yoash recognized that he was now the rebirth of the Malchus of David, and in his Malchus there were seeds of Mashiach. We know that Mashiach was always a recurring theme, that each of the kings had potential to be the Melech HaMashiach. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Each of the kings could have been Melech HaMashiach. Shlomo could have been Melech HaMashiach. Shlomo didn't work out for Shlomo. He married Bas Paro, who was premature. Rechavam. And then it went down, we learned the one who really had the opportunity was Yehoshaphat. He was the person that could have been the Melech HaMashiach, but it slipped through his hands as well. Yoash barely survived after Yehoram and Ahaziahu. Now we have Yoash, who was an infant, and he survived. He lived in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. The time was right. People were willing to give him the support. He could have become the Melech HaMashiach. And him being the Melech HaMashiach would require some major project to unify the tzibur, and that would be accomplished by being mechadesh the Beis HaMikdash, not just being mechazek the Beis HaMikdash. This is the general theme. I'm not going to go into all the details, but this is the general theme of the Malbim that we're describing in Sefer Melachim, Sefer Divrei Hayamim, two completely different stories. In Sefer Divrei Melachim, it was the initial stage. Yoash comes to power. He sees that the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of disrepair. We need to raise a couple of $1,000s to get things going. That would be fine. But then comes in a different story, which appears in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, where Yoash, in his role as the Zera of David, which is perfectly in line with the theme of what Sefer Divrei Hayamim is all about. It's all about the Malchus of David and the attempt of each one of the kings to bring Mashiach. I have much greater plans for Klal Yisrael to be Mechadesh the Melucha, and that is where he made his attempt. And to a certain degree, he was successful until the time when Yehoyada died. And when Yehoyada died, unfortunately, then he turned sour. Okay, so leave it with, okay. Now, there is also one other insight which sheds light, which supports this theme, is that only here in Sefer Divrei Hayam does he describe the donations as the Masas Moshe Eved Hashem. In Sefer Melachim, when it describes the donations, it just says everyone should give the Kesef Over and the Erich value, the three different types of donations which we mentioned last week, but the term, the Masas, the donation of Moshe, Eved Elohim, is not mentioned. Why is that mentioned for the only time in Sefer Divrei Hayam? And according to the Malbim, the answer is because when Moshe built the Mishkan, the donations that he required for the Mishkan, the beginning of Parshas Truma, Zos HaTruma Shetichu Meitam, Zav, Chesef, Nechoshes, Ustcheles, Yargaman, that was a one-time donation that was much larger than what was required of the people every single year. Every single year, people just had to give Machzat Shekel for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Occasionally, a person would give his Erech value, or would give a significant donation to the Beit HaKavayis, but it wasn't necessary to go out and have a dinner to go raise money to build the Beis HaMikdash. They only need to build the Mishkan once. Parshas Truma was the first time when Moshe said, "Vezos Hashuma Shetichu Meitam Zohav VeChesef VeNechoshes VeSchelus VeYargaman VeTolashani VeSheish Mazar." They people had to give significant donations in order to have funds to build the Mishkan. Once the Mishkan was in operation, that's it. It's over. The building campaign is over. Now just pay your membership dues, and we will do very well. If everyone will pay the membership dues, you know, like they say about the United States, if everyone would just pay their taxes, what they really owe, the country would have so much money, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. Problem is, everyone is looking for ways out from paying their taxes. That's why Yoash here is using the term Masas Moshe Eved Elohim, the collection of Moshe. He's coming to demand from the people to be mechadesh to Beis HaMikdash. He views this moment as a time as if he's not just going to renovate the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what you need a building fund. And he's reminding Klal Yisrael of what Moshe Rabbeinu did when he also collected funds to build the Mishkan for the very first time. Yeah. This was what they all say, that it was. There's a reference, there's a bleak. The truth is, in Sefer Divrei Hayam, it doesn't say anything about the Mas HaShekel. All the Mepharshim, most of the Mepharshim learned that what's taking place in Sefer Divrei Hayam is identical to what it says in Sefer Melachim. And in Sefer Melachim, there it says explicitly to take the Mas HaShekel. The Psukim, let me read you, let me try to find the Pasuk. Vayomer Yehoyash El HaKohanim Kol Kesef HaKadoshim Asher Yuvah Beis Hashem Kesef Oiver Ish Kesef Nafshos Erko Kol Kesef Asher Yaleh Alev Ish. In Sefer Melachim it says a pasuk where it mentions three types of Kesef. Kesef Over, okay, Kol Kesef HaKadoshim Asher Yuvah Beis Hashem Kesef Over, that's number one. Ish Kesef Nafshos Erko Arachin, how much you're worth? Then it says Kol Kesef Asher Yale Alev Ish L'Havi Beis Hashem. It doesn't say anything like that here in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Divrei Hayam. In Sefer Divrei Hayam, beginning of the Perek, it says Vayikra Hamelech Le Yehoyad Harosh Veim Lo Madu Lo Derash Es Alevim L'Havi Miyehudu Bishleim Es Masas Moshe Eved Hashem. The Masas.
But the Radak takes the word
Okay, so Enochanan, that's the Radak. So maybe I didn't see the Radak yet. I didn't see all the Farshim inside. A little rush through the preparation. I think the Malbim. I believe the Malbim says this. Yeah, definitely carefully the Malbim. It's a long Malbim. The Malbim goes through that this idea, it's very different. Rashi right away jumps. Rashi right away refers you to what it says in Sefer Melachim. It says here, Rachi Rachin, there was the, go back to Pasuk Dalet. Vayach Rachin, Hoyim Lev Im Lev Yoash, Lechadesh Espes Hashem, Vayikbo Yitzes HaKoyhanim, he gathers them and he says, the kibsum he called Yisrael kesef, collect cash. Lechazek es beis elokeichem midei shana b'shana ve'atem temaru ladavar v'lo miharu halavim. And Rashi, go take a look in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim it says there are three types of kesef: kesef oiver, kesef erko, and kesef, the kesef of ashayala alevish. Doesn't say that here. That just says collect kesef. And in fact, it says now in Pasuk Vav, it says that now, how come you do? We're not doyresh. Lohavim Yehuda Mishlames Masas Moshe Eved Hashem. There's something else going on here between the lines. He does it. Well, Mepharshim elaborate. He elaborates upon this very much in our Rabbi Eisen in the Art Scroll. It's perish on Divrei Hayamim, where there was really a two plan. The Psukim here in Divrei Hayam are really including what it says in Sefer Melachim and adding to it. There was a two part plan. Part plan, he says to the Kohanim, go, he says to Yehoyada, tell the Kohanim they should collect money like they were doing until now from their friends, their relatives, just to get the Migdash going. But that should be the starting point, the starting point for the major renovation plan of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. There's L'chazek, T'mi L'chazek, and L'chadesh. Two different concepts. To strengthen the Beis HaMikdash and to be mechadesh. The first task was to the Levim was to be mechazek, which even that they did not succeed. And then Yoash summoned Yehoyad and said to him, we're going nowhere. Not only do I need you to be l'chazek, the Bedek HaBayis, I need to go to the second part of the plan, to be mechadesh, but if you can't even get your act together and get the people to be mechazek, we can't even pay the electric bills, are we going to build a new building? To build a new building, we need an enormous amount of money. So that's why he made a new change, a whole new system, and that explains a lot of the discrepancies. Another interesting discrepancy between the two, just to give just a few examples, is in Sefer Melachim it says that the Pushka was put near the Mizbeach. Let me read you the pasuk in Sefer Melachim. Vayitain oso, vayikach Yehoyada HaKoyin Aron Echad. He took one aron, meaning one pushka. As we mentioned last week, this was a new system. Vayikov chor bidalto, and he chiseled a hole in its door. Vayiteno, so eitzel, where did he put it? Eitzel hamizbeach, near the mizbeach, miyamin, on the right side. Bivao ish beis Hashem, when someone would come there, v'nosnu shama hakoyhanim shema kasaf, who put the money there? The koyhanim put the money. Because who's allowed to enter into the Azara? A Yisrael is not allowed to enter into the Azara. You don't have automatic access. Only time Yisrael came into the Azara was on Erev Pesach, not the whole year round. And this pushka was put near the mizbeach. So how did you get there? How did a Yisrael get there? The answer is, you gave your money to the Kohen, and the Kohen will put the money in the Pushka. Some of them, unfortunately, explain a little bit deeper, is that since part of the donations mentioned here are Arachim, says in the Torah, the one that administers the Erech, a person comes to the Beis, comes to the Midrash and says, Erki Olai, I want to give to the Beis HaMidrash my Erech value, who is the one that does the interrogation? Who does a Kohen? So he is, how old are you? Obviously, you're a male or a female, that'll be obvious of a conversation, unless you're all dressed up in a way you can't tell if you're male or female. And he determines your age, he tells you how much money you owe, and you give the money to the Kohen, and the Kohen would then go to the Mizbeach, to the right side of the Mizbeach as he enters, which I'm assuming would be on the north, because if you come into the Azara and you go right, that's the north side of the Azara, and the Kohen would put the money in the Pushka. What does it say here in Divrei Hayam? Where was the Pushka? The Pushka was not near the Mizbeach. It says in Pasuk Ches, Vayemer HaMelech Vayasu Aron Echad Vayitnu B'Shar Beis Hashem Chutzah, outside. So how do you reconcile this discrepancy? Okay, the answer one. So they look at the Mepharshim. Some of them said, if you learn that they were exactly the same thing, there was only one campaign to renovate Lechazek, whatever it was, the Beis Hamikdash. There was only one campaign. So there were two pushkas. There was a pushka near the Mizbeach. That was for the Arochin, or that was for the Kurbanos. And there was another pushka mentioned that was put outside the Beis Hamikdash for Yisrael, which Yisrael had easy access to. Okay, that's a very similar approach. We're dealing with one campaign, we're describing the same scenario, the same tkufa, the same period of time, and there were two different pushkas, one inside, one outside. But on a deeper level, it represents a different campaign, a different fundraising campaign. In Sefer Melachim, we're discussing the three types of kesef, as it says, kesef over, kesef erich, and the kesef asher yala aleiv ha'adam, the basic yearly annual contributions people gave to the Beis Hamikdash for its basic upkeep, which is called in Sefer Melachim lechazek, to strengthen the Beis Hamikdash. Sefer Divrei Hayamim has a different agenda. We're discussing something which happened maybe years later. It's not the same point in time. It's lechadesh. We're going to demolish and we're going to rebuild. We're going to knock down the structure, a major building campaign. We'll daven in the meantime in a tent, right? We'll rent space across the street in some storefront while we do major renovations in our shul. Major renovations. And that's why we don't have the words oiver, and we don't have the word kesef erich, and we don't have the word alev adam. Instead, we have the unique term of the masas Moshe, which reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu making a major collection to build for the very first time the Mishkan. And that's why it says here lechadesh, not lechazek. And that's why it says here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim that the pushka was outside, not inside, because everyone had to come and give major contributions for this new structure. And why? Because Sefer Divrei Hayamim, his agenda is not the Beis Hamikdash. Its agenda is David, the Malchus of David, the Nitzchitz of Klal Yisrael. And David is synonymous. What was David's contribution to Klal Yisrael? Hashem, you're no longer going to dwell in an ohel. You're going to dwell in a permanent structure. Yoash is now the rebirth of David HaMelech. It's a new tkuf in Klal Yisrael, a new chance to bring Melech HaMashiach. That's what's going on here. It's a whole different agenda, a whole different story. It's a very beautiful approach. Opens up a whole new way of looking at what it says in Divrei Hayamim, not just to say we're repeating the same stories over and over again. There are a million more details that are left out of history in Tanakh than would appear in Tanakh. Tanakh only selected just a small few little details of what took place during those years for its purposes. In Sefer Melachim, it's a Sefer of Nevi'im. It's a lesson, it's a Musar for future generations, but it's not about David. That's not its agenda. So we focus on the Bedek Havayis. Divrei Hayam is about David. There was another building campaign. We all know in our own lifetime, you go to Idav in one shul over the course of 15, 20 years, how many campaigns are there? There's a building campaign for this, a campaign for this, a campaign for that. There are hundreds of stories, all these new administrations and all new things are going on, and it's very likely you have the same thing going on today, Beis Hamikdash, even more on a much larger scale, and that's some insight we have into two different stories, which seems exactly the same, but really it's very different. Okay, let's now go back to the Pasuk. So we did Pasuk Yud Aleph. They made this Pushka, and also another interesting difference I wanted to mention, another difference is that it says here they cleaned it out every single day. In the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, it says, Vayisou, Pasuk Yud Aleph, they lifted up the Pushka, Vayishivuhu, and they returned it, El Mikoimoi Ko Asu Liyom Biyom, daily. Vayasu chesef lov, they accumulated money in abundance. And Sefer Melachim, it doesn't say they took it away every single day. They only took it away, I'll read you what it says here in Melachim, Vayihi kirosam, when they saw kiraf ha-kesef baron, Vayal Sefer HaMelech v'akoyin ha-gadol. Now also another interesting, we'll come to in a moment, Vayotsuru, and they tied up the money, like they took all the bills and they tied it up, Vayimnu, they counted as a kesef, hanimsa beis Hashem. It doesn't say anywhere that it was done daily. It was only done kiro sam when they saw kirav hakesef. How often do you clean the pushkin shul? Some shuls do it every single day because of the ganoven. But they only clean out the pushkas when it's full. Doesn't say when it was full. In Sefer Divayam it says they cleaned it out every single day. Another difference here, it says that who cleaned out the kesef? The Sefer HaMelech v'HaKohen HaGadol. The Kohen Gadol himself cleaned out the Pushka. Why? Because in Sefer Melachim, the Pushka was for what? For the Korbanos. This wasn't for the building. It was for the maintenance. Who generally is in charge of the maintenance, the daily activities that take place for the Korbanos? The Kohen Gadol. He has to bring Korbanos every single day, make sure the Mizbech is occupied with Korbanos. In Sefer Divrei Hayom, are we discussing the Korbanos? No. We're discussing a building campaign, L'chadesh Espeis Hashem. And therefore, who's the one that's coming to count the money? Not the Kohen Gadol, his assistant. His assistant. Now, why in general, let's just go off on a tangent for a moment, why are there two people, this is the Halacha and Masechta Bava Basra, which is, this is the source for the Halacha, when it comes to Tzedaka, when it comes, you're not allowed to have one person sign the check. Any public organization, you always have to have at least two people, checks and balances, you have to have at least two people sign the checks. Why? A gabbai tzedaka that goes to collect tzedaka, and even to distribute tzedaka, there are many laws, no one's trusted. You have to have transparency. And that's why here there are two people coming to open up the box and see how much money is inside, one from the king and one from the Kohen Gadol. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the one that's coming to collect, to count the money is the Pasuk Yud Aleph we just read, Uchur Oysam Ki Rav HaKesef Uva Sefer HaMelech Ufikid Kohen HaRosh, the officer, not the Kohen Gadol. It's a whole different story.
His representative.
Oh, but it says in Malachim that he himself came. So all the Mavardim say, yeah, it's all the same. Lav Dafka. He came, his assistant came. One day he wasn't feeling well. One day he was busy. He had to travel somewhere. So it's all the same story. Yeah, if you want to learn like that, there's definitely room to say it's all the same story being described a little differently. But at a deeper level, it's two different stories. And this story, it's not his business. The Kohen Gadol is not my role. My role is not to build a new bias. The one who builds the bias is David, the king. Why am I coming? Why is my assistant coming? Because that's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that chashad. No one's trusted when it comes to money. Comes to money, you always have to have transparency, so therefore there's going to be a person, an accountant, but not me, my assistant. Okay, so this is the general theme, the very, very powerful idea, which really opens up a whole new world and understanding from the Malbim. Let's see Pasuk Yibbeis. If you Pasuk, then we'll see the Mesuz in the Rashi. Let's try to go down to Pasuk Tezvav. Pasuk Yibbeis. Vayitneu HaMelech V'yoyoda. So now the king, the Melech, and V'yoyoda, El Osei Melech HaSavod Espeis Hashem, they gave the money, they handed over the money to the contractors, to the people who did the Melech HaSavod Espeis Hashem, Vayu Seichem, and they were hired, Chitzim, quarriers, Vocharoshim, craftsmen, lechadesh. Notice the word. This word does not appear in Sefer. I don't think it appears at all in Sefer Melachim. There it says. I'll read you what it says there. It says there. V'nasnu es hakesef hamisukan al yidos hamelacha hamuf gadim beis Hashem vayotziu lechoroshei hoetz v'labonim hoetzim beis Hashem v'lagoydrim ulechoetz ho'even v'liknos etzim v'yavne machzev lechazek. Okay, in Sefer Melachim it says lechazek, to strengthen, just to get things going off the ground. After this matzav of Asalia, everything was put on hold. We got to just get things off the ground. Here it's a whole new world. Here it's... But it does say that, there are some loose ends which have to be explained. I acknowledge. That's why a lot of Mepharshim don't learn like the Malbim. They learn it's all the same thing and just different style of writing. But still, there are still major discrepancies, and they have to be addressed. And it's not a perfect answer. You know, there are loose ends, but it definitely is a theme which answers many questions. Okay, back to the pasuk. L'chadesh beis Hashem, v'gam l'charoshei barzel, and they also gave money to the craftsmen of barzel u'nechoyishes nekaper l'chazek es beis Hashem, to be mechazek the beis Hashem. It could be the certain things we need to be renewed, certain things did not need. Okay, interesting. Okay, fine. Pasuk Gimel, Vayasu Osei HaMelacha. The Osei HaMelacha did their thing. The craftsmen, the workers, they did their work. Vatal arucha, and a beautiful expression which does not appear in Sefer. Does not appear in Sefer Melachim. Vatal arucha. What is arucha? Arucha is a borrowed expression. Arucha means healing. It's a word that comes out of medical school. Only when you go to medical school do you use the word arucha. Arucha is not a word you use in engineering. Take a course in engineering, you'll never have the word arucha. Take a course in pre-med, that's where you'll have the word arucha. Arucha means healing. And here we are borrowing vatal arucha limelacha biyadam. And the healing went up. They healed the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was sick. It was a chayla. And through this project, headed by Yoash and Yehoyada, the Beis HaMikdash had a refuah shalema. That's really what it means. The healing through their actions went up. It was successful. Vayamidu espes holakim al maskunto, and they put the Beis HaMikdash on its foundation. Maskunto is lashon of tikkun, on its in its place, in its setting. How look at the alkinoi on its, look at the mitzudos David al maskunto alkinoi ubasiso, on its foundation and setting. Verotzoloimar
alkano
on its base,
like in
sar hamashkim, you will be restored to your position, to your base. So here is what al maskunto, on its foundation, vayamitsuhu, and they strengthened. It was strengthened. Now, why are we describing the Beis HaMikdash as a living organism? The answer is that's really what it was, because we don't relate to a building as something that is alive. We know the Chazal tell us that there was a miracle that took place during the time of Shlomo HaMelech. There were trees of gold. There were trees of gold, two trees of gold on the sides of the ulam, and it grew. And it grew peros of gold, actually grew fruits, gold fruits, and the Kohanim had parnasa from these fruits. Every day when you need parnasa, you have to marry off a child. So what do? You go to the Beis, you're a Kohen, it's your shift, you're entitled. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, you pull off a gold apple. What? A gold what?
What?
A gold watermelon. If you want to make a really nice wedding, then you pull off a gold watermelon. If you just want to make, you want to be
a wedding.
You know, with the takonis. If you're part of the community where they have takonis, so then you just pull off a gold apple, and you go to the store, a pawn shop, and you sell the gold apple. They give you a nice stash of money, cash, and then you go to, you make a wedding. It was as easy as that. That's simple as that. How does it grow gold fruits and gold vines? It was an ace. But what do we learn from this? It was alive. Something that we have absolutely no understanding of. There was life. There was life in the doimim. It's not just that there's a doimim, a tzomech, a chay, and a medaber. The doimim was alive. It's a different world. It sounds like some of the science fiction book, novel. That's what it was. And that's why the words here are very appropriate. We live in these times, and with Selvi here, like the Beis HaMikdash, is a schlump. It's in a doctor's office on a wheelchair with a cane, and it's sick. The doctor comes in, gives it a shot. Vatal arucha. It's healed. It gets up. It stands up. It stands up on its foundation. It's a very beautiful description of a rod. So this is what it says here. Vayasu oisei melacha vatal arucha lemelacha biyadam ve'amidu es beis halakim al maskunta vayam tsuhu. It's kedai to learn divrei hayom just to learn this pasuk. It's an incredible image of what the Beis HaMikdash was all about.
Does this term ever appear anywhere?
No, I do not think so. I'm not a prophet. We have to ask. We call out to David, who's listening abroad. He's a baki in Tanakh. He will tell us if this type of idea, not just the words, if this type of expression to describe the Beis HaMikdash as standing al maskunto, and having healing, a doctor giving you medicine to, is such an expression. Okay, pasuk yudal uchi chaloi sam. And when they finished, he viu lifnei hamelach viyoda eshar kesef, and there was surplus. That is, this is mamish unheard of. When did you ever hear of a building campaign? They never finish off a building. All the buildings that I've seen in my days, they raise money and they schnarr, and then they never have enough. And there's always some part of the building that's never finished. Not because they say zechel chorben. It's not zechel chorben. There's just no money. There's just no money. The people that collect the money are tired. They're just worn out from collecting money. There was a surplus. There was leftover money. They use it for other things. They use it to make new kelim, the Beis Hashem, klei shoris, v'mhalois. That's a maskunto. Maskunto was on its face. I mean, it's a term of arucha. Arucha, and it stood. The building stood al maskutai. V'ha'avim ha'alois. What is v'ha'alois? Ha'alois is an unusual word. According to the, there's many different opinions what exactly this means. According to the Mitzudos Tzion, it means handles. They made beautiful gold, silver handles. V'ha'alois, look, it says, hiyad ha'machteshes. It's the handle of the mortar. Ukuya kein al shem shemalin maridin oisav esak ha'kesisha. That you go up and down the mortar, you bang, you crush. I guess they had to crush the wheat to produce flour in the mortar, and they used this type of a pestle, some type of a hammer, and they made for this hammer this beautiful gold silver handle. V'chapois, pasta continues, and spoons, uchlei zahav uchesef, and utensils made from gold and silver. V'yu ma'alim oilos b'neis Hashem. They had more money. What did they do with more money? This was something they were able to do. They were able to keep the mizbech occupied. This was a very beautiful milah. In the long summer days, there were not enough korbanos to keep the mizbech occupied the entire day. You like to have, you have a shul, you have pride. Many rabbanim are very proud that in their shuls there's learning the whole day. They have a koilel. I know in this shul they're very happy. They have people learning here the whole day. All different programs going on, shirim day and night. You have a shul. That's the pride of the shul. That it's not just only once a Shabbos. Only people come on Shabbos. The whole week the shul is just minyan, shachris, and ma'arif. The shul is occupied the whole day. Alachas kam the Beis Hamikdash. It should be busy the whole day. They don't shut down after 9:30. The place is closed. They pre-war korbanos. So how many korbanos do people need to bring? And also we have to remember that in those times the fire, there was an Eshman HaShemayim, the korbanos were consumed very quickly. So in order to keep the Mizbech busy the whole day with korbanos, the Beis Hamikdash had to pay. They would need an enormous expense to purchase large amounts of animals to continuously offer as korbanos for the remainder of the day, especially in the long summer days. They had enough money for this luxury during the time of Yoash. Vayihiyu malim oilois b'beis Hashem tamid kol yimei Yehoyada, all the days of Yehoyada. So that was a very big milah, a very big milah to the success of this campaign. So everything was going according to plan. Yoash was the reincarnation, the rebirth. He represented the renaissance of Klal Yisrael. And they succeeded in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It appeared at this point in time that Mashiach was on the way. Mashiach was mamish, calling out, was ready to come. The Gula was here. Unfortunately, with the death of Yehoyada, everything goes south. But let's first see the Mitzudos and Rashi. These two Pesukim, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos and David. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hi bo'eis yavi bo'eis sheviu es aharoin el toich habayis b'fkudas hamelech. It was when they brought the aron. They put the aron outside to make these collections, to collect the money. And on a daily basis, they brought the aron inside to count how much money came in today. According to the command of the king, Ashabiyad HaLeviim, and it was administered through his assistants to Leviim, the Chasharo es HaKesef Rav, Bo Ki Mishkolo Kaveid, when they saw there was the pushka was stuffed, you couldn't even put another dollar. You ever go into a shul where you can't put another dollar into the pushka? That's what it was. Oz Sefer HaMelech, then the Sefer HaMelech came and they counted the money. Fine. Vio Iru. It says then, Vio, they pour. A very interesting expression to describe an overflow of money. You only use this expression when you have an enormous amount of money. To pour out money from the pushka, usually you have to put your hand in very deep to pull out some money. This only time you use this expression, the aru, is when there's an abundance. Shafchu hakesef min ha'aron, and they did this daily. As we mentioned, it was not said in the Sefer Melachim, it was daily. Liyom yom kimitz ha'melech ha'yol ha'viv b'chol layla min ha'chutz el toich ha'bayis. It was the command of the king to bring the pushka from outside, inside, every single day. V'chashero sh'rav ha'kesef ha'shafchu ha'kesef menu, and when they saw there was an abundance, they poured out the money. It seems over here they didn't necessarily pour it out, they just maybe brought it back inside for security reasons, for inspection or security reasons, but they brought, they did make an inspection every single day. When they saw there was an abundance, then they poured out. I guess if you want to go learn that in Mahalach, they didn't necessarily pour it out every single day. That's how you can reconcile the difference between what it says here and Sefer Melachim. Here it says also, they didn't necessarily, when it says daily, it just refers to bringing the pushka inside to see what's going on. But the actual pouring out of the money and the counting and the storing, that maybe took place occasionally, did not take place every single day. If you want to learn that approach, Pasuk Yudbeis, Elosim Melechas, they gave the money to the workers, they hired contractors. Heim Ho'umdim Hagedoylim Hamamunim Beis Hashem, these are the expert craftsmen. Umitachas Yodam, and through them Boinim Ho'umdim Hapoylim Kifia Shoyor Oysam, and through these workers they did renovations. Uvirabosenu Zuchen Levracha Nikram Ad Rachlin. They're called by this term, it's in the Gemara often, Ad Rachlin. They are the overseers, supervisors, or the whatever, some term that fits that description. Vayihi Seichrim, they would hire, Vehem Yu Seichrim, these overseers would hire Chotzvei Evan, Vecharshe Eitz, quarriers and craftsmen of wood, Vecharoshe Barzel, experts in iron, gam yu sechem es chosha barzel chosheh pasuk gimel vayasu asu masha aleim lasos v'talarucha biyadam al yadam also chizuk lemelechas hatikin. To them, the work was strengthened and they were successful. Al maskunto al kino on its space kano uvesiso v'ratzolaymar shetiknu es kol hatzarich lesakin uchalosam. And when they finished, they had surplus. There was leftover money, which they used for furniture. They bought new kalim. Tamid. And in addition, not only was there surplus to buy new kalim, there was even extra money to offer korbanos on the mizbeach continuously on the long summer days. Heim hatamidim shebuchol yom berboker. He says here the tamid refers to, not that's other mafarshim like that, but he says the tamid means malum oilois bebeis Hashem tamid. Heim hatamidim shebuchol yom berboker. There, it very simply refers to they use this money to purchase korbanos. That money had to come from the taklin chadetin, from the new coins. Just by the way, this reminded me that according to some of the mefarshim that want to learn that the story in Divrei Hayamim is identical to the story in Sefer Melachim, and they take note that there is a major discrepancy in the fact that in Sefer Melachim the pushka is described as being inside, and in Sefer Divrei Hayamim the pushka is described as being outside. So one of the approaches, one of the answers given is, if you learn Masechet Shkolim not that long ago, is something called taklin chadetin and taklin Atikin, the new coins and the old coins. The halach is if a person forgets to give machsa shekel, for whatever reason, the year goes by, it comes Purim time, he's just preoccupied, he's busy, it's tax time, tax season, and he just forgets to give the machsa shekel. So the following year, by the time he wakes up, it's already the next year, and he remembers, you know, last year I didn't give machsa shekel. So what is the law? Is he exempt? I don't have to give, I got away with it. They didn't, the IRS didn't catch me, so I'm off to the races. It's my benefit. So the halach is no. You mechuyev to give. You have to give for last year and all the past years, all your back taxes. Oh, but the halach is that money is no longer fit to offer. If you're going to send it in, it's going to get mixed with the money that's going to be used for this year's korbanos. And this year's korbanos can only come from taklin chadetin, from new coins. So the answer is, so you're right, they had a special pushka called Taklin Atikin. The coins, Taklin, you know, the coins, the shkal, the old ones, all your back taxes have to be put in the old box in order not to mingle with the new box, so that we only bring korbanos from the new coins, not the old coins.
So
now
the,
here, what?
So the older funds are used for non-korbanos?
Right, they're used for the bedek habayis. They're used for the upkeep, but not for the korbanos. So here, we have to remember that Asalia, shut down the mikdash for 6 years. So Klal Yisrael, they got off in taxes, and they probably had to pay her taxes.
Sure.
Who knows what they had to pay her? She ripped them off. Who knows what she did to them? But they were not giving. But they were not giving for the Beis Hamikdash, for the korbanos. Now when Yoash came to power and Yehoyada came back to power, he said, "Rabbi Yisrael, you owe 6 years of machzis hashekel. 6 years. You don't think you get away with it." So all of that has to go into the taklin atikin. Where was the push? But you also have to give taxes for this year. Taklin chaditin. So the push got in Sefer Melachim inside the Mikdash in the Azor near the Mizbeach was the taklin chaditin. The pushka that was outside in outside chutz in Sefer Divayam was the taklin atikin, and it was much larger because it's 6 years of taxes, and they had to clean it out every single day. So if you want to learn with this approach that we're dealing with the same story, so why the two pushkas? So that's another approach to.
I just don't see why I'm going to put a pushka in a restricted area. You would want to put it
in the public area. So another answer we mentioned, we just said this, is because the people, part of the three collections was Erechin.
So there's a Kohen nearby.
So the Torah says, Boil HaKohen. The parasha of Erechin demands that you present yourself to a Kohen and you tell him, I gave my Erech value, and there's a ceremony. How old are you? It says in the Torah, this is the amount. A male gives this amount between the age 20 and 60, or whatever it is, 20 and 50, whatever it is, 20 and 60. And here's the, and he get, you give the money to the Kohen. And the Kohen then proceeds to put the money in the Pushka. Being that the Kohanim have access to the Mizbeach, that's what they do the whole day. So they put the money, that Pushka was in an area that was in for the Kohanim. Private donations were given outside the Beis HaMikdash, b'chutz, as it says in Divrei Hayam. Okay, those are two approaches to explain the difference where the two pushkas are. But the more grand approach, which I really appeals to me, is the Malbim's approach. Is we're dealing with two different building campaigns. There was an initial campaign just to get things off the ground, and then there was lechadesh, to bring out what Divrei Hayam is all about, to a rebirth of the Malchus of David. Okay, now we go to the Rashis. Let's go to the Rashis, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ucheroysam ki Rav HaKesef, Ozbo Sefer HaMelech, when they saw that there was an abundance of money in the Pushka, came the Sefer HaMelech, the scribe, Ufekid Kohen HaRosh, and the officer of the Kohen Gadol, Mishores Hamamuna Tachas Kohen HaRosh, Vuskana Kohuna. Here he's the skan. We have the pekid. Now, like in Sefer Melachim, where we have the Kohen HaRosh himself coming to make to count the money. In Sefer HaMelech, he comes to Sefer Melachim. Melachim, so it says Vayal Sefer HaMelech VeKohen Gadol. So there it says the Kohen Gadol Pisroin. The interpretation is Vayal Sefer HaMelech VeAf Kohen Gadol Shalach Bikido. So again, the Rashi Lishitasei, the Mefarish, does not want to learn this grand approach of the Malbim, that there were two different collections. It was exactly the same thing. So he very loosely translates in Sefer Melachim, it means there also his assistant. It means his office. The office of the Kohen Gadol was present when the money was counted. It doesn't literally mean the Kohen Gadol would come to count the money. It means he sent his representative. The Av Kohen Gadol Sholach Pekido Hu HaSofer HaKosef Masha Kohen Gadol Mitzavelo, the officer, the secretary of the Kohen Gadol, he writes down what he was commanded to do. Ki Ein Hogun VeKovayt. It's not proper and honorable for the Kohen Gadol to count the money. Leilich im avdei hamelch, to go with the servants. Leilich im avdei, to go with the servants of the king. And that's why the Aru, S-A-R-U, they poured out the Aru Dugma, Vatar Kada. So it's a beautiful reference when he compares it to Rivka. Rivka, she drew water from the well, and she poured out for the Eliezer. Vata'ar kada means to pour. So here, to empty out vi'aru, esaron, here they poured out not water, they were pouring out money, cash. Vayisau, they carried away b'chol yom v'yom, every single day. Kisharon kirava kesef shavu shavu. They brought to the officer of the king inside of the Azara, that's inside. They poured it, and they carried it, and they returned the box. It must have been a heavy box. Like it says in the middle here, on the outer gate. Oh, aru is, well, aru there means to uproot. Aru, to pour out. Same idea, to pour out. Okay. Vatal arucha l'mulacha, dugma hecheyu ho'avonim de'ezra. It says there, we have that said in our vaguely remember, that's right, we have it said for Ezra, we learned about, they gave life to the stones. I remember we spoke about this vaguely, that when they build the wall, b'choyma, around Yerushalayim, they also use such an expression. I told you there is such an expression. Sefer Ezra, it says, Hechayu ho'avonim, they gave life to the stones.
When they
Same expression. They gave life to the stones of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim are also called alive. They're alive, and that's what it means. He gave life to the remnant of the city, the rest of the city in that context. That was back in the beginning of the different Hayamim. Al Maskunto, Al Michono on its base. With the surplus, they bought Klei Shares, and they bought Ve Ho'alos. What are Ho'alos? Shetushil, Beloshin Ashkenaz. What is that? Who? It's a pestle. Oh, so that means Shekoyshtin es habesamim b'machteshes dugma im tichtoish evil b'machtesh kein amali Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel mi
narbon.
Okay, that's how I was told. So this is what he's informing us, that it means the actual pestle, not like the mitzudos, it was the handle. According to the mitzudos, it was the yad. It was just the handle of the pestle, because you go up and down, lashon of aliyah. Rashi seems to learn that it was the actual pestle itself, not just the handle. The entire object that was used to crush the wheat was made from silver. The yesham, some say it means boards. V'hoalos elu hanesarim shechoitchim aleim basar. Boards, it was boards to cut meat. Cutting board. Alein basa v'dugma b'beitza m'sechta beitza ein metaltel es ho'ali l'katzev ala basa it's muksa. You're not allowed on Shabbos to metaltel the ho'ali. Here is the same sherish, the board, the cut apart at basa, because it's muksa. It's muksa. Something it's set aside for Shabbos. You don't use this. It's over the chol. You don't use this board for cutting meat on Shabbos. I don't know if it's actually a klit shalach l'iser. I don't think so, but it's set aside for weekday use, and therefore it's muksa. We have the same sherish, ayin lamid, yud. There means a cutting board. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was lots of meat, and they needed to cut the meat, and they needed to buy new cutting boards. The kapos, the klei zav, the chesef, they also purchased with a surplus spoons and utensils of silver. The Malachim, however, in Malachim we have Ksev Ein Ach Lo Yosef Es Hashem Sipos Kesef. It says they don't make bowls of silver. So Haket Sad Mufurish. We have a contradiction. We have a stira. Here it says that they made bowls of silver and gold, and there it says they did not make any sipos bowls from silver. Everything was made from gold. We have a contradiction. Hoketzad mefurish b'ksubish b'perikam boy minei rav hunim rav merav klei sharis malshias and mikotshim b'kabayis. And there, okay, I didn't prepare this. And there, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara gives an answer. Mahu shayase mikotshei bedek habayis. I have to look this up. I'm sorry. I don't remember. I don't know what it says here. Bali neder for tomorrow. I'll look up that pasuk. What that means. That answer the contradiction. Maybe the Radak says something over here. Here, look at the Radak. The Radak says, "Vayasu keil with Hashem klei shoris v'lochem ach lo yosu beis Hashem sipos kesef." V'rabaseinu zuchem levachik shuei elu apsukim b'tirut zukan shagavu v'hasiu kan shagavu v'lo hasiu. V'zesh amar v'chalosam hevi lufnei amelach ki kan lufnei kalis hamalach lo yu oisim keilim imenu. Kamosh Amar b'Malachim ki lo ose hamalacha yitnu shadain lo nas hamalacha ach kasher nasas kamosh Amar.
So the answer is giving is that there in Seif Malachim, they did not use, it says they did not use the money to purchase kalim. All the money was given to the workers. It was used for the building supplies and for the workers. It was not given to purchase kalim. That's before they had surplus. Before the project was complete. Then there was no money left over to purchase kalim. Here in Sefer Divrei Hayam, we are discussing a later point in time in this campaign when there was surplus money. Money came in late, came in a later point in time, and now they were able to use that money to purchase kalim made from silver and gold. Obviously, if you look like the Malbim, we're discussing an entirely different building project. According to the Malbim, we're discussing in Sefer Malachim, L'chazek Bedek HaBayis, the money that was collected for renovations just to get the Mikdash going. There was no extra money to purchase new kalim, and that's why it says there they did not buy any sipos, bowls of silver with the kesef, because that was not the purpose. The purpose was just to get the basic necessities, their basic needs. But in Sefer Divrei Hayom, we're discussing an entirely different project of renewal, of lechadesh, to renew the malchus, and that's why there was money collected to purchase kalim as well. Okay, so that concludes this chapter. This was the golden era of Yoash. And by the way, just one point I want to make is that Yoash sometimes is spelled Yehoyash, and sometimes it's spelled Yoash. What's the difference? Whenever it spells it with a hey, that alludes to the good days, the golden era of Yoash, when he actually was king. When he became king, he was 7 years old and onward until the death of Yehoyada. Whenever after the death of Yehoyada, then generally we call him Yoash, because as we're going to see tomorrow, Bli Neder, he turns sour. He turns sour, and also before he becomes king, the first 6 years of his life, or the first 7 years of his life, when he was in hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he is not yet king. He's then called Yoash. When he takes the throne and conducts himself in the Derech Hashem, then he gets the extra, like Yosef. Yosef also got an extra hey. Yehoisef, he got the Shem Hashem. Same thing here is Yehoyash. He was a reincarnation to some degree of David HaMelech, and we'll leave it with that for today. Okay.